Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Bottom Line Sports Show, with great guests and great lives all call home. Now, from the Man Cave Studios in New Jersey, here are your hosts of the Bottom Line Sports Show.
Oh, it's so great to be back on air. So great to be back on air. Gerald Brown, momentarily be joined by the cast of characters, Howie C., Eddie Murphy. No, not that Eddie Murphy. Dynamic show on tap for you tonight, 347-324-5839. It's only right. And, you know, for those that listen to the show on our SiriusXM show on Saturdays and Sundays, it's always good because we talk so much NBA stuff and nothing's wrong at all with that. I mean, I love talking about the NBA, but it feels good to be able to mix in some NFL talk, and it's great to be able to just be able to come on air and be able to talk some NFL talk, especially with this time of the year where we're going to have so much going on. So we're going to be delving into a lot of stuff in terms of just getting ready for conference championships. We'll look back on some of the stuff that's taken place in terms of some of the coaching moves. I'm still upset and baffled by some of the coaching moves that took place in the NFL, but we'll talk about that as well as we'll get you all, like I said before, college basketball, the wacky top 10. It's just been all over the place. Is this good or bad for college basketball as a whole? Because any team that's number one really hasn't been able to stay number one for quite a while at all. It's just been something. We'll talk in our Journey to the NFL segment. It's really interesting because we've been able to do this with some unbelievable individuals from Colin Kaepernick, Clay Matthews, T.Y. Hilton. Every year we get an opportunity to introduce everybody to NFL young men who share the NFL dream, and they start the process of that dream. And we'll have one tonight from the Ohio State, Adolphus Washington, as well as we'll talk with University of Illinois' Josh Ferguson about, you know, again, getting prepared for the first leg of their, journey, getting ready for combines. They're going to work out. So we'll talk about that, as well as we'll get Fife Dog on the line, who's actually here. I don't know. I guess he might want to see snow. So we'll talk about that. We also got a little baseball to talk about, your phone calls and more. 347-324-5839. 347-324-5839. The great Eddie Murphy joins us right now. The great Eddie Murphy. No, not that Eddie Murphy, but Eddie Murphy. Murph, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, G?
Not much, man. I'm excited that the fact is that you know, we got football right now, and I was just saying momentarily before we went on in the air and getting really into the midst of the conversation tonight, you know, I love the SiriusXM show and being able to talk a little, you know, basketball. I love it, hands down. But it's nothing
sure
like talking a little football every now and then. I mean, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, you get 6 hours of basketball, got to change it up.
Yes. So it's always interesting to be able to talk about that. So we'll mix in and sprinkle in a little football as well as some basketball. But I got to say this, the All-Star starters were announced, and Kobe Bryant was the leading vote getter. No surprise at all. Almost 1.9 million people voted. He'll be joined by Steph Curry, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and Kawhi Leonard in there. Draymond Green was not a part of that starting five. Surprise or not surprised at all, Murph?
I'm surprised in the fact that the fans aren't as smart as I thought they would be. I'm not trying to start a war with NBA fans, but if you see what Draymond Green's doing, he's probably on the All-Pro or MVP award-winning level. So, I mean, All-Star, then what it comes back to is it's a fan-voted thing, and they want to see the players they like, the players they're used to, you know, on their TV the whole time, just playing at a game doesn't matter. It's an exhibition game. It's just a game to have fun. It's a weekend for everyone to enjoy. So, you know, on one hand, does he deserve it? Yeah, but on the flip side, I mean, who really cares? It doesn't really matter.
But I disagree with you, Murph, because it does really matter. Yes, it's an exhibition game, but guys get up for this, and it's something that they look forward to. It's almost like being named the prom king. You know, you go to high school, you want to be named the prom king. You know, I just think that it means a lot to these guys to be able to say that, hey, huh?
Let me ask you this then. Would you rather be an all-star or first team all-pro?
I mean, you know what I'm going to say. Of course I want to be a first-team All-Pro.
Right, because it means more. And it's a better award, essentially, than just being an All-Star. It's a fan vote. I mean, Yao Ming had his whole home country of China vote him and get him in every year when he barely played. I mean, same thing with Kobe. If Draymond Green's an All-Pro, which he actually could be this year, I don't think he's not going to lose so much sleep over it.
Yeah, I just think that, again, it's a badge of honor that you do want to be recognized by your peers, and I'm kind of surprised that I don't know if I'm really surprised, because the fact is that you know this is the fan vote, so now it's based upon the coaches to get that right in terms of making sure whatever mistakes that the fans made, they figure out a way to correct that. So really interesting to see how that plays out, but that's in the West. And then in the East, again, the Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron, Paul George, Carmelo, Dwayne Wade, and Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry, surprisingly, was also named as an all-star. How surprised are you at that?
What's funny with the East, I mean, when you name top point guards, you're going to probably name who be first. It would probably be Kyrie Irving, and then your next best point guard, you probably have to look at Kyle Lowry. And he's had a pretty good year, him and DeMar DeRozan together, who's in his contract year. So they've done pretty good things together with the Raptors. I'm not surprised with that at all, because like I said, all of your top point guards are all in the West, and the East is kind of lacking. So Kyle Lowry, actually, in my mind, is where he should be. And he's playing at the level where he should be playing, which is probably the second-best point guard in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, but do you think can you justify him having a spot on this All-Star team?
Well, absolutely. You need point guards. Yeah, so he deserves a go. I don't think there's a point guard right in the East is better than him, besides maybe Kyrie, but he was hurt.
I don't know. I disagree with that. I just think that, again, when you don't play that many games, but like you said before, it's a fan vote, and, it's just interesting. And
who would you pick? You keep disagreeing with me. Who would you pick?
Well, I think Jeff Teague might have needed to start. I think Lowry gets it right, but, I mean, I'm happy that Kyle Lowry, but I think Jeff Teague needs to be considered. Isaiah Thomas needs to be considered.
Well, you also realize this, too. The game's in Toronto.
Well, of course, I know that, but I mean, you got to take one of these guys. Both of them, arguably, you could probably make a case for Reggie Jackson to be considered an all-star. I mean, are we forgetting about John Wall? I mean, I just think that some of those guys, from Teague, Lowry, DeRozan, I'm not going to say obviously Derrick Rose, but I mean, Reggie Jackson's had a so far good first half of the season, as well as Isaiah Thomas. I think that there are some guys out there that are deserving. I mean, look, Kemba Walker just put up 52 points the other night. That was something really, I thought that he should have had something, an opportunity to get some consideration.
I don't know. Lowry's averaging like 21 points and seven assists. I mean, that's pretty much as good a season you could have at the point guard position.
Yeah, and it means a lot. So I do understand the fact is that definitely the game is there, and that's a good point. 347-324-5839. I want to get into some of these coaching hires and some of the stuff as Adolphus Washington will be coming up momentarily with us. From Ohio State is in a segment we call Journey to the NFL. But Chip Kelly, how surprised are you that he got a second chance without any type of a layoff whatsoever? How surprised are you, especially over guys like Mike Shanahan?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 1, honestly, and 1 being not surprised at all. I think he does deserve it. I mean, look at what Chip did in Philadelphia. He has a winning record. Here's the one interesting point. It's that I have no problem with Chip Kelly as coach did or will did. I have a problem with Chip Kelly, the GM. And I guess now going to San Fran with Jed York and Trent Baalke in the show there, he's not going to have that power, which he did in Philadelphia. And him being the GM, getting the players that he wants to coach in the way he wanted to, kind of ruined their roster. I guess, you know, they didn't ruin them because they won, but they didn't get to the level they wanted. They didn't win a Super Bowl. And now their roster going forward, the different coaches all scrambled. So I think Chip as a head coach with the right players, you know, when he's not screwing things up being a GM, I think he'll be totally fine. He does deserve a chance, especially over Shanahan. Shanahan's too far. He's too far gone from this NFL. He, you know, his style is too old. He didn't go along with players. So I think Chip Kelly will be fine.
I totally disagree with you. I think anything, above all, Murph, what bears watching and paying attention, the way things transpired in Philadelphia, where you had race come into the equation. He traded away
garbage stuff from LeSean McCoy. No one bought into that.
But also, too, you know, the notion that he did, you know, he wasn't a coach, a people's guy. He didn't really communicate a lot with the players. And look, I'm not saying anything about that because.
A lot of coaches aren't, though.
Well, I mean, look, you don't have to be rah-rah with the guys.
Jim Harbaugh.
You don't have to be rah-rah, sis-boom-bah with the guys. But to take away and to basically you strip that team down to a point where it's going to take – perhaps maybe about another 3 to 5 years to rebuild the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm surprised at that. Listen,
yeah.
He traded away guys that were at an elite level, from DeSean Jackson to LeSean McCoy. You know, some of the questionable trades to bring in
right. His
guys from Oregon. Look, I mean, it's something that. You know, have we seen this before? Maybe not to this level, but let's be honest. Jimmy Johnson did something where he traded away Herschel Walker, but he brought back product to the team. And what the way the Eagles look this year, I mean, you trade Nick Foles. Was Nick Foles an all-pro? No. But to bring in DeMarco Murray and this three-headed monster, Ryan Matthews, it was a lot of mess. And I think it's a big job for the coach to come in.
I can defend that, though, because, I mean, one, Bradford was better this year than Foles. Not that Bradford was great, but he was certainly better than Nick Foles. The thing with DeMarco Murray was led the league in rushing last year, and Murray, you could argue, you know, it was hurt and might not have fit the same way when you have a committee with Sproles and Ryan Matthews, who everyone thought would be a good sign. So I could defend that you have three good backs that are just paying one and working, you know, focusing on his health. But the receivers, you know, they wanted to rely more on Jordan Matthews, who they thought could become a true number one instead of paying DeSean Jackson, another guy who was injured all this year for the Redskins. You know, and they drafted Nelson Aguilar in the first round as well, who they had, you know, high expectations for. So I could defend the moves that he made. It's just that none of them really, you know, panned out this year anyway. So it was one of those gambles they took, and none of them paid off.
Yeah, but, I mean, listen, Stevie Wonder could have saw that DeMarco Murray wasn't a good fit to what they try to run, in Philadelphia. You
but
know, DeMarco Murray's a guy, yeah, it just, I don't understand that. And there was no way in the world that you could have had me to believe that that was something that possibly you could say on the surface, okay, this could actually work. I thought it was a disaster.
Yeah,
and then the money they gave them.
They wanted a role for each back. That's their thought process, or his thought process.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, to give him the amount of money that they give, you know, I'm baffled because you can't get rid of him.
I'm with you. I mean, I said Chip Kelly should not be Chip Kelly the GM. He should be just strictly Chip Kelly, you know, the head coach. I'm with you on this. I don't think he should make personal decisions, you know, in terms of who they're signing, who they're trading for. He's the coach. He gets to coach the players on the field. He can let the GM in the front office know the kind of players he wants, their style. Obviously, we know what kind of offense he runs. He wants more of a spread. I know a fast-paced offense. But a lot of the NFL does it now, too. So it's not like it's anything new.
But are you convinced that this offense can really work in the NFL?
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
are you convinced?
I do. 100%. Because barely any team in the NFL huddle anymore. Every team now is a quick, you know, your offensive coordinator is going to throw out a couple plays, 3-4 plays at a time. Your quarterback's going to know the situations and know which ones to run. And you're going to run a play, go back to the line, and do another one. It's a fast-paced thing. You know, the Dolphins do it. A lot of teams did. The Giants barely huddled this year. A lot of teams aren't using huddles at all. A lot of teams are doing the fast-paced offense. And again, I think what it comes down to is they just didn't have the right players to execute. I don't think Sam Bradford's a good quarterback. I agree with you, the running backs. You know, McCoy had a much better year than any one of the Eagles, so they lost that, you know, trade-off. And then, you know, with the receivers, Macklin would have definitely helped. They kept Jeremy Macklin. You know, but Jordan Matthews and Nelson Aguilar didn't step up. So, I think his idea in a vacuum, it works, but this year it just didn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I just really think that, again, the pieces that he brought in, and I think the jury's still out and remains to be seen in terms of if that fast-paced offense. Surprised that Tennessee decided to hold on to Mike Mularkey after flirting around with the different names. How surprised were you that, Tennessee decided to hold on to Mike Mularkey?
It's just one of those things where you look at it and do you think that Mike Mularkey will lead the Titans to the promised land? And I just can't convince myself that he will. The flip side, the job I don't think is that attractive, despite what people say about Mariota. Yeah, you have a quarterback, but you don't have literally anything else. In a way, stability could be good. So maybe Mularkey staying there can get a rapport with the players and just build from the ground up, because they're as close to the ground as you can get. But I'm not sure if it was one of those things where they try to kick the tires to some coaches and they all just say, you know, I'm good, I don't want the job. Part of me believes that's probably what happened. So, I mean, unity could sometimes work. A lot of franchises believe in that. I guess so. We'll see. I just don't think Mike Mularkey is a quality head coach. I can't see him winning a Super Bowl in the NFL.
Yeah. And then also, too, what do you think about the whole situation with Hugh Jackson? Basically getting that position with the Cleveland Browns, and twofold, how does it affect really Johnny Manziel? I mean, there were reports that he said he didn't want any parts of Johnny Manziel. So I'm surprised at you, Hugh Jackson, taking that position with basically a team that, let's be honest, they have not been a team of consistency, chemistry. Well, better yet, when it comes to losing, they've shown nothing but learning how to lose. How surprised are you that Hugh Jackson comes in there and takes that job?
I'm not surprised that a guy wants an NFL head coaching job. I mean, he was there in Oakland, made the big trade for Carson Palmer, which I can say is a smart move, because look how Carson Palmer's playing now. Obviously, just the lack of talent in Oakland then, and now the talent in Arizona shows how good Carson could have been. So I like that move he made years ago, and now he's another shot at it. I mean, Cleveland is, you know, I just talked about, you know, Tennessee with you and saying that they're in a really bad spot and they're in a black hole. I mean, Cleveland's been this bad for decades. They've been terrible. And it doesn't seem like anyone can fix them. And the casual NFL fan might not know who Hugh Jackson is, but a lot of people in the NFL believe in him. They need a lot of help all over the place in their roster. And, you know, the big name guy is Johnny, like you said. And if anyone checked out my own podcast, I believe it was a week or 2 weeks ago, when they got into the whole suspension thing in the end of the season, when Johnny was missing from their concussion protocol thing. And I went on a whole rant about this, because I just think the Browns organization mismatched it from the start. And so I don't blame Hugh Jackson and whoever's going to be there now to not want to keep, not retain Manziel, because I think it's just the relationship has been, you know, it's been cut, it's been severed, all the ties they've had.
Murph, I got to say, here on the Bottom Line Sports Show, Thursday night edition, Gerald Brown, Eddie Murphy, upcoming Adolphus Washington of the Ohio State Buckeyes and getting ready for the NFL draft. But, Murph, let's be honest. I mean, you're taking a job that's really a graveyard job, and it's been that way for some time. Are you going to be able to stay there and be able to have an opportunity to develop this team and program? That is the main thing. I don't know. That is my biggest concern, because when you're taking these types of jobs, it's going to be something that you have to work and improve from the ground up. And the question is, will he have that opportunity?
I just think if the NFL is the law of averages, and sooner or later you're going to have to find a team that's winning. And hopefully the front office realizes they need stability. And like I was saying before, some franchises preach stability, and some franchises are quick to pull the trigger and, you know, make a change. And I don't think change is always good. I think you need to have a guy there to, build the foundation and start finding, like, the right pieces and, like, get a good team chemistry going, which is why I think Manziel's gone, because I think going forward they wanted just a new identity, and he'd ruin that because of, you know, he's a me-first kind of guy, although I do think he'll be successful in the NFL. With Hugh Jackson, like I said, a lot of people believe in him and what he could do. and he seemed to have the right idea when he was in Oakland, but just, again, a lack of talent there and a franchise that was quick to jump the gun. So if Cleveland's patient and they have a couple good drafts because, you know, frankly, if you go look at their draft history in the first round the past couple of years, basically right before, I mean, right after the Joe Thomas, Joe Hayden years, it's just brutal. It's just terrible, and they miss on every pick. So right now, they have to focus on the draft. Maybe try to lure a couple free agents in key spots. They won't get any big names, but just guys who are very, I guess, helpful in a team way, you know, decent starters. Then we'll see. But they're also playing a really tough division, too. The Bengals aren't going to get worse anytime soon. The Steelers are always around. Ravens, I think, got it down here. So it's going to be tough. But if they just don't fire them for 2 years, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7, you know, years on the road, we'll see an improvement.
Yeah, and you know what? We're getting ready to have Adolphus Washington and Josh Ferguson on the show momentarily. You know, I'm really excited about this segment, and we'll be starting this periodically. Thoughts and really getting some insight on these young players. Talk about, you know, really being able to hear the story of these young players and being able to, you know, understand their journey.
For sure. Well, a couple things I want to know when you told me we're going to do this thing, and I think it's a great idea, great segment, so kudos to you.
Thanks.
What I want to know is just the mindset of them going into this. Like, a lot of them, you know, they'll toe the company line and say, I'm prepared on this and that. But deep down, all these guys are nervous about certain things. I want to know what, to them, they're nervous about, you know, making the jump to the next level. Are they worried about the whole, the longer schedule and it's like a year-round job? Are they worried about, you know, the whole financial aspect and how to control their money? Are they worried about maybe even the combine stuff? Are they worried about a certain kind of workout? Do they have to get better in their 40 time? They want to get their strength up. Are they worried about maybe a checkered past? They have some red flags. They worry about the interview process. There's a lot of things I want to get into with them. Maybe even their play as of late, the last few games in college, since they declared. I mean, are they not really happy with their season at certain points? So stuff like that. And then on the flip side, too, it's like the fun stuff is, you know, how it's feel to be the big man on campus. You know, what was it like playing your last year there? The feelings of that kind of stuff. You know, when do they know that they could be, they're good enough to be at least considered for NFL teams in the NFL draft? That's always fun to hear. So there's a lot of different ways we can go with this, and I'm sure the answers will be pretty good.
Yeah, it should be really interesting. Let's switch gears right now because, again, as we talked about so many times in the past, opportunity to get some insight on young people that's getting ready for the draft. And we've been fortunate here on the Bottom Line Sports Show in the past during the journey to the NFL. It's having an opportunity to be able to speak with some young men who really get ready and prepare for the chase, the dream, and the journey, going from Clay Matthews, B.J. Raji, Colin Kaepernick, T.Y. Hilton, just to name a few. This is a young man that's been a part of he's starting that process now, has known nothing but success playing for one of the top premier college football programs in the country. Put your hands together for Adolphus Washington joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Adolphus, Gerald Brown, the great Eddie Murphy joining us right now. First and foremost, congratulations on a career at Ohio State and just being able to, be in that hunt to win a championship. First and foremost, have you had an opportunity to reflect on everything that's transpired in your 4 years at the Ohio State University?
Oh, yeah, I've definitely had an opportunity to reflect. As it was coming to an end, my dad and my goddad would always tell me to, just appreciate being able to play in that great stadium in front of the great fans. And, you know, because one day it won't all be there because, you know, the next level is about business. So you got to enjoy the college experience while you got it.
Yeah.
Adolphus, first of all, congratulations on a good season individually and as a team. I know it probably didn't end the way you want, but still, nonetheless, a pretty good season all around. Before we get to the whole draft kind of stuff, just on the past season, you know, you guys are rattling off win after win, going undefeated for, you know, a very long time until late November. As you're winning each game, and, you know, the big game versus Michigan State was coming up, I mean, does the pressure, you know, keep mounting, or did you guys feel pretty cool and calm?
As a team, I felt like we felt pretty cool and calm. I don't want to say the whole team, but, you know, with Connor Cook not playing, you know, we didn't think they would be as good without him. well, I didn't think they would be as good without him. Not saying that I didn't go out there, you know, play as hard as I could, but I didn't think they would be as successful offensively without him. And, you know, that was just one of those opportunities where the backup quarterback got the chance to go in there and show what he can do against one of the best teams in the country, and he did it.
Yeah. Dolphins, you know, I mentioned, I think I was telling Christina Allure, and again, you're with a great, great organization and company representing you. We have the pleasure in having on with us right now a gentleman. He's a big time Ohio State Buckeyes fan, legendary hip-hop legend, lyricist, Muddy Morphosis is coming out, Tribe Called Quest is Fife Dawg joining us. Fife, what's going on?
What up, man? What's going on? What's popping?
What's up? How you doing?
I'm good. And you?
I'm doing pretty good. Down here training, getting ready for the next level.
All right. Being that you're from Cincinnati, how would it feel if you were drafted by the hometown Bengals? How would you feel? How would your family feel?
I think my family would be, they'd be honored for me, you know, just to get drafted by anybody, but for me to be home, I think they'd definitely be happy. They'd be able to come to a lot of games. And, you know, they've came across a couple mock drafts that had me going, you know, to the Bengals or whatever. So, you know, my whole family was sending me those or whatever. And a lot of people back home, just people growing up watching me play, supporting me back home, they've been pretty excited about seeing that type of stuff too.
All right, that's what's
up. Adolphus Washington is joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. Adolphus, listen. That's when the word no has to really, really come into play. Because, I mean, again, you're going to have so many requests for tickets and all that stuff that really comes in hand. At this point, it's still really relatively early. Talk about just the process of preparing for, I guess, obviously the combine, which would be the first thing that's in line. Talk about the process of training thus far. How has it been for you?
Well, it's been going pretty good so far. You know, I came down a couple weeks after the little incident happened or whatever, and the first event that I have actually is the Senior Bowl. It's like a kind of like an all-star game for the best seniors in the country. So I got that next weekend. I've been preparing for that. Like you said, comes next is the combine, and that's just basically, it's just a big audition to show all the teams that your athletic ability and your ability to go out there and compete.
Go ahead, Eddie Murphy. I just wanted to follow up on that. You know, we obviously knew about the whole situation that transpired, the violation and stuff. Have you been prepared in terms of just really? Have you been had the question? Obviously, how have you been looking in terms of just knowing that you're going to be asked that a lot, and just terms of really not only from the media, but more importantly from those teams that are going to invest in you in terms of just really the whole situation of being, you know, sent back home from the Fiesta Bowl?
I mean, that's why I hired my agent, Drew Rosenhaus. You know, he's a great dude. He has great relationships with the team. And, you know, I needed somebody to get some quality control, I mean, some damage control going. And he's been talking to teams. And, you know, I'm prepared to answer the questions. All I have to do is tell them exactly what happened. And, I mean, and that's it.
I hear you.
Now, Adolphus, I watched a lot of your games, and I saw the dominance on the field. Anyone looks at your stat sheet, they see you're a factor in literally every game. To you, what is something that you want to work on from this point going forward until, you know, the combine, the draft? What's something you think that you want to shore up before teams get a look at you?
Just pass rushing ability, really. You know, the league is turning into a lot of pass rushing. They're looking for pass rushers. So just to keep improving on that, keep my hips loose, working on my hands, foot speed, stuff like that.
Yeah. Adolphus Washington joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. Go ahead, Fife. Sorry.
Hey, Adolphus. In one word, how would you describe Coach Urban Meyer?
Phenomenal.
He's
a great guy. He cares about his players. You know, he's one of those coaches that he feel like his players should have it all. Like, you know, if you're doing good, he he wishes he can buy you a car or something like that, even though you can't do stuff like that. That's just the type of guy that he is. Like, he wants his players to have the best of everything.
Right. Yep.
Dolphus, you know, I want to, first of all, in Fife, you know, Fife is, like I said, diehard Ohio State fan, Buckeye fan, and a great friend to the show. In fact, he's going to be on air this weekend, Will Allen of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But having him and Cato June, former NFL player, talk about just your experience. Now, you grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio and stuff. Talk about really the understanding for myself and Eddie Murphy, and even to a certain extent, Fife. We're all New York guys. But just really talk about that rivalry, how intense it is between Ohio State and Michigan. I always say that I try to compare maybe Louisville and Kentucky, University of Kentucky, when in basketball. But just if you can, talk about just what that rivalry means to you, especially being a homegrown Ohio native.
That game means a lot to me. Like you said, it's really no game you can compare it to. It's the greatest rivalry in sports, period. And for me to grow up in Ohio and play in it, you know, my dad at the time, so I've known about the rivalry all my whole life. And for me to get the chance to play in it 4 years and to win all 4 years is definitely a great honor.
You heard that, Joe? All 4 years. Not 2 years, not 3 years, all four.
Yeah, 4-0 against that.
Malik, you know what? This is a guy that I think he's loving this right now because, again, Fife, oh, my God. But, I mean, look, you're absolutely right. I know it's a big thing. I'll tell you this. I remember, real quick story here on the bottom of my sports show, Gerald Brown, Eddie Murphy, Fife Dog, Adolphus Washington, Journey to the NFL segment. I remember going on campus, and I remember a great friend of mine, Dennis Hobson, played basketball at Ohio State. When we were back there, I was visiting him, and we went to Ohio State University. I just was so amazed how big the school was and how massive the school was. And we were actually sitting there, and be able to see the horseshoe, I thought that was unbelievable. And it's just amazing that you said all 4 years to beat up on a team and really, again, carry some weight. I mean, I tip my hat. That's what you call a rivalry. But, Adolphus, before we get you on out of here, if you can, just I know it's early in the process. Talk about just really, have you been able to just sit back and maybe think about what that's going to feel like in terms of having your name called? Or do you try to put it on the back burner because we do have some time and, I mean, before things transpire?
No, yeah, I definitely think about it. I think about it on a daily basis. You know, it's a dream come true. So I'm pretty sure everybody that's down here training or anywhere that they're training, they're thinking about the same thing. So, no, I definitely don't put that on the back burner. That's something I think about on a daily basis.
Now, are you going to be – I mean, again, obviously it's still early, depending on how things play out. And I know Eddie Murphy, I know you go ahead and ask the question, but, you know, do you think you'll cry when you hear that – when you hear your name call, whenever it may be?
Can you say that again?
Well, do you think you'll shed some tears and cry whenever you hear your name?
I've thought about that. You know, I think I will, but I'm going to try my best not to.
Why not?
I can guarantee one thing.
Especially if I'm going to be invited to the draft, I can't do that on national TV. That's something I have to do, like when the camera's off or something.
Well, Can I say something?
Please.
Go ahead.
If you get drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals, you're going to cry. I'm telling you right now. Because think about it, that'll mean you never have to leave Ohio for your whole career, high school, college, and now pro. That'll be incredible. And when you see your mom's face, you're gonna break down, homie. Word up.
I agree.
You also shed some tears when knowing that the fact is that, you know what, You got a guaranteed job, first and foremost. You're not beating the pavement looking for a job. You got a guaranteed job. And, I mean, those tears are always something, tears of joy. Go ahead, Eddie Murphy. I'm sorry.
Just a question I had was with, you know, you're the big man on campus, one of the biggest campuses, like Gerald was talking about, and you played in a dominant program, and now you're going this whole process of being, you know, one fish in a big sea, going to the NFL. What's something that maybe you won't want to admit, you know, to everyone and be the macho man, but deep down has you a little bit nervous, or, you know, during this whole transition, this period where you're trying to impress everyone?
Well, you know, the transition from high school to college, you know, you have to get used to the speed of the game. So when you go from college to the NFL, I'm pretty sure the speed of the game is even faster. So that's probably my biggest worry right now. But, you know, it didn't take me long in college to get used to it. So hopefully I can have the same transition going from college to the NFL.
Yeah. It should be something entertaining. Adolphus, listen, really, really appreciate you jumping on the line with us. And, you know, you're in great hands with Drew Rosenhaus and Rosenhaus Sports and people like Christina Allure, first class all the way. But, listen, best wishes going through this process, man, and with the All-Star game coming up really soon and stuff. But we'd love to have you back on because we definitely want to make sure we check in with you to see how things are progressing throughout this whole process, inevitably leading up to your name being called during the course of the NFL draft. But continued success in all that you do. And we definitely look forward to talking down the line. And I'm a Buccaneers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, so I'm pulling to see if we could possibly go ahead and get you in that mix too, because we need you down in Tampa Bay for a pass rusher.
Hey, I'm here.
It sounds good, Joe. Buckeye to a Buccaneer. It sounds pretty good.
Yes, indeed. Dolphins, listen, thanks again. Definitely look forward to talking to you real soon, man, and best wishes, man, with the training. And definitely look forward to keeping keeping tabs on what you're doing and have you come back on and let us know how things are progressing.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Always
good
a
luck.
Pleasure. Dolphins,
thank you.
Joining.
Always.
Great, great insight, though. Fife, talk about it. Just what it means to really have one of your guys.
I mean, that's dope. I appreciate you for hitting me up, letting me know what was going on. You know what I mean? But I think he's going to do well in the NFL. He'll learn from his mistakes, and he'll make it happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know you were the first person that came to mind because, again, and kudos to, you know, friends over there. And seeing the list of guys, and I said, oh, man, you know what? We got to get Fife on here and stuff. Really got to get Fife on here. Fife, you know, we spend so much time talking football, basketball, and Eddie Murphy and I were going back and forth. We were talking about some of the coaching changes and the coaching decisions. And how surprised are you that a guy like Chip Kelly got a opportunity so quick and $24 million out in San Francisco? How surprised are you with that?
I'm uninsulted, actually. But, I am surprised because I'm looking at it like, okay, Lovie Smith, they obviously got better under Lovie, one. Two, his players loved him. His staff loved him. And then you have a guy who killed the team, traded his best players. His staff doesn't love him. His players didn't like him, at least most of them, and he gets $24 million. I don't get it. It seems like, you know, the powers that be in San Francisco are just desperate because they know they messed up letting Jim Harbaugh go after he led them to 3 NFC titles in a row or NFC championship appearances in a row. You know what I mean? So I think they were desperate. I don't know what they were thinking, and we'll see what happens. I wish him luck, but he definitely didn't deserve no $24 million. He's going to have to show and prove, most definitely.
No,
but I don't like the fact that Lovie would lose his job after his team got better and Philadelphia just was thrown by the riverside by this guy.
Yeah. Now, Fife, we were also talking about, and Murph and I were talking about the fact is that you have Hugh Jackson taking a job with Cleveland, especially, you know, coming off of a situation where it was so much that went on in Oakland and him not really getting an opportunity to see the process through. You know, it's been a graveyard for coaches in Cleveland. How surprised are you that he takes this job? And more importantly, how long do you think he'll be given, honestly, to be able to sort of clean stuff up and really put his players in and develop a program?
Oh, man, well, the work definitely starts now. He has to get ready for that draft. I think he'll be smart to take a quarterback like the kid from Cal, Jared Goff. Yes. I think that'll be a step in the right direction for Hugh. But as far as him taking the job, I wasn't too surprised for the simple fact that when you have an opportunity, and he's been waiting for one for a long time, like you said, things didn't go right in Oakland. You know what I mean? So you gotta go for it. You definitely got to go for it. Same way Lovey went for it in Tampa. I'm sure he didn't think he'd be going this soon. You know what I mean? So anything can happen. But with Cleveland, it's going to be tough. But he's been around the league for a long enough time that it wouldn't be any sweat off his back. I think he's going to do a pretty good enough job. It's just a matter of the front office working with him diligently. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it should be really interesting. Hey, guys, let's switch gears right now. And as we've been talking about, again, so much has been going on with the Journey to the NFL segment. As you know, it's that time of the year you hear some amazing stories and you're introduced to some amazing individuals. We just had the pleasure of talking with Adolphus Washington and the history of having guys like Clay Matthews, Colin Kaepernick, T.Y. Hilton, and hearing these stories, which is so amazing. Our next guest is up, a gentleman. Again, starting that journey right now from the University of Illinois, the Fighting Illini, Josh Ferguson joins us right now. Josh, good evening. Gerald Brown, Eddie Murphy, not that Eddie Murphy, lyrical legend, Fife Dog, a.k.a. Malik Taylor, joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing very well, man. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Josh, let's just, look back. And what we like to do, obviously, with a lot of the guys and going through this whole process in terms of, you know, starting a process, your college career is over. Have you had time? And if you have so, talk about your reflections of playing at an elite program in the Big Ten and playing college and football as you begin the next phase in the journey for you.
Yeah, man, it's been quite the experience. You know, this season didn't pan out the way we really wanted it to, and that really just, you know, bred an opportunity for me to just get some things together, finish up my degree, and like you said, have some time to reflect. You know, I wouldn't trade my experience at Illinois for anything. It really just taught me a lot about life, a lot about how to be a man and how to handle ups and downs, and also how to handle, you know, times when, you know, things are pretty easy, pretty hard. But a great experience, really laid the foundation for the platform that I'm headed to, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, well said.
Josh, thanks for coming on. One question I had, and I think I'm passionate about this by a lot of athletes, and I was, you know, looking at your stats before, and your best game is probably against North Carolina, who had a pretty good season this year. And a question I like asking people is when did you know the moment that you could do this at the next level, or maybe even before this, maybe in high school, when did you know this? But when you see a game like North Carolina, is that a game where you go, man, I'm pretty good at this, or is it way earlier on in your career?
I guess you can say it's kind of something that's been in my heart for a very long time. And, you know, NFL football, watching NFL football has been a deal of mine at a very young age. And, you know, coming out a little bit, my red shirt sophomore year, kind of laid a little confidence in my own being, but definitely pushing those Arizona State games later on in my career, you know, Washington, and this last season against Washington or North Carolina was huge for me. You know, going to that game, I knew it was going to be ABC, the whole nation's watching against a Gene Chizik defense. So that was huge. And when I got out there and was able to do some things that I wanted to do, you know, nothing but confidence leaving that game.
Josh Ferguson joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. Fife had to get back in the studio because he's actually in town. He's recording an album, so Fife jumped on and wanted to make sure that he spoke with you briefly as he heads back into the studio and stuff. But, you know, Josh, in terms of just this process, and, you know, one thing we know about the whole process, it begins right now, and I think after this you might have some All-Star games, and then the next thing you know you have the Combine, and then from there the pro days. Talk about just the training and sort of the process and what it's been like for you now in terms of if you were in school getting ready for, you know, again, your upcoming season. Talk about the differences from the training and just from the mental as well as the physical aspect of really preparing for, you know, this journey.
Right. Yeah, and I think the biggest difference, you know, right off the bat is not having school. you quickly realize that, you know, this is your deal here. This is your job, to become the best version of yourself, you know, in the film room and athletically. So that's been the biggest change. It's been a great change, though, being able just to focus on football. I'm actually down here in Miami, training here with Pete Bomarito. And, you know, this week I've been at the East-West Shrine game practices and looking forward to a great game this weekend. But it's been quite the experience, and I'm looking forward to it. I've, you know, a pretty busy month here getting ready for the combine and the pro day shortly after that. But, you know, mentally, it hasn't been too bad. I've got a great support system, great coaches back at school, you know, great guys training me down here, and it's been nothing but fruitful.
Josh, what's one thing you're going to focus on when you go on all these, like, combine-type team workouts? Is it on-field stuff? Is it the interviewing process? Or is it going to be more of, like, a speed, strength type of thing that, you know, with weights or whatever? What are you right now trying to hone in on?
Yeah, working with Pete and the guys down there in Miami, you know, it's just a many-fold attack in terms of the combine. They've been preparing me well for, you know, interviews, the on-field deals. And, you know, as far as the speed work, it's been pretty much unreal. The guys got a great track and guys that run fast in the 40. So I can't really say whether we're going to attack it harder in one place compared to another. But I hope to have a well-rounded day, well-rounded few days, and, you know, see where we can go from there.
Yeah, Josh Ferguson joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. Journey to the NFL, Gerald Brown and Eddie Murphy, 347-324-5839. Josh, if you had to look at a player right now, perhaps in the NFL or a past player, that would you say that you, if anything, you see the similarities in each of your games, and maybe perhaps you modeled your game or your way you played the running back position after, who would that be?
Shoot, that's a hard question, man. I grew up watching a lot of guys, you know, the Gail Sayers. I loved watching Gail growing up. My dad used to have me watch films
with him. You're too young to be watching those Gail.
I'm too young, man.
You see video of Gail. You ain't see no – talking like you seen it live. Come on, Josh.
He's an old soul.
Never saw it live. Never said I saw it live, but I definitely see the film. Grew up watching a little bit of Work Done. I was young, watching Work Done.
Okay.
But even guys today, the Giovanni Bernards, the Dunbars, the Cowboys, Amir Abdullah, I played against him. You know, these are all guys that kind of match my stature. And, you know, getting to watch them on the weekends do their thing has definitely encouraged me to go ahead and express myself athletically on the field as well.
You know, Josh, you just got some major brownie points over here with Gerald mentioning Work Done because he's a Bucs fan. On similar, I know, and he probably just answered my question for me, though. If I'm a coach, GM, owner, whatever, you know, and I have a blank sheet in front of me and I'm asking you, what will you bring to my team at the running back position? What would you tell me?
Sure. Just a guy that can create mismatches, a guy that might frustrate a defense or linebackers from the backfield, from the slot, a guy that can run between the tackles and, you know, catch the ball. I think I could create, you know, a betterment for an offense in a diverse way, you know, a versatile guy. A tough kid and a kid that'll turn, you know, what seems to be a small play into a bigger one. And if I can convey that, you know, this week and in the combine and anything pre-draft, you know, I'll be achieving my goal here.
Yeah. Josh, you know, a couple questions before we let you get on out of here. Josh, you know, we just had Adolphus Washington on the show, since we've been doing this whole Journey to the NFL segment each year, one of the things that always amazes me is that the question I'm about to ask you is just the different responses. At this point, you know, it's still relatively early, you know, the season's still going on, the playoffs and all that stuff. Do you ever think about, do you ever dream about what that day is going to be like when you hear your name called, or do you try to put it on the back burner so it doesn't consume you?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a combination of both. You know, being a competitor and growing up loving this game, it's definitely been those nights where you're sitting there daydreaming about the draft. You know, as you get older, you know, you realize that it's really out of your hands. All you can do is control what you can't control, and that's everything that you do prior to that day. So, you know, kind of just remaining, you know, grounded in that and understanding that my work is here and now, and whatever happens in those few days is going to happen, and we'll have to roll with that. So it's been good. Mm-hmm. I can't complain at all.
No, that's well said.
Josh, what's you know, you're playing around with your other your teammates and guys you've played before, who've gone to the next level. To yourself, what's one thing that you think you do better than all those guys?
Can you repeat that?
Sorry. After seeing, you know, your contemporaries, your teammates, you know, guys that even have gone on to the next level, what's one thing that you think you do better at the game of football than everyone else?
I think I just add another dimension to the running back position. Like I said before, just a guy that could do a little bit of everything, and even in special teams. But mainly my pass catching, I think that's something that could be cherished by an OC or a team. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to having the opportunity to exploit that little bit of a talent.
Yeah. Josh, do you think when you hear your name call, you cry?
Probably not. I'm not much of a crier. But if I do cry, there'll definitely be tears of joy and just a culmination of all of what it took to get to where I am today.
I was hoping you'd say that because I'm saying, you know, Adolphus said, oh, I'm not going to do that, especially if I'm invited to the draft. And I'm thinking, this is the opportunity so many people dream of. Yes, of a lifetime. I would be sitting there, if I had the fortunes of being drafted, I think I might have run out, especially if I'm at the draft. I would go up to the stage, I'd be crying, I'd fall out. I would make it a ceremony because all I would be saying is, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. Just all those things. I would make it a play. It would be a two to five minute play. And I would just say, because again, you know, you achieve what you start out to, and this is a process, but definitely tears of joy because not too many people get this opportunity. So definitely, man, don't hold back because, you know, you only get drafted once, but definitely, you know, relish that moment and truly, truly enjoy it. But Josh, listen, I really, really appreciate it. Go ahead.
Wait,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
One more quick one for Josh, and I got another. So every Sunday now, you know, when you get you're in the league, what's one player maybe or one city or stadium you want to go to that you're going to see on the calendar and go, oh, man, and circle that?
Probably the Seahawks. I'd love to play against or with the Seahawks. I feel like they've got a great thing going on there. And I hear the stadium is awesome, 12 man, and just that whole city there. It's pretty beautiful. So getting to go there and play guys like that, I think that would be pretty cool.
Wow, he's already picked out a team that really needs a running back. Josh, who you have this weekend? Who's the Final Four winners? Give us two winners this weekend.
I'm thinking the Pats take it all, man. I think they'll end up, you know, beating, who is it, the Bengals? Or, no, Denver, and, you know, head to the Super Bowl and doing their thing.
Yeah, so who do you have winning in the NFC Championship?
Shoot. I think Panthers.
Panthers? Okay, so you got a Pats and Panthers.
Yeah.
It'd be a rematch.
It'd
be a definitely Super Bowl rematch. Listen, really, really appreciate you jumping online. We want to get you back on, man, especially during this whole process as it continues to play out and really share some insight on how it's progressing for you. But listen, man, best wishes above all. Make sure you answer your text messages, man. You already went Hollywood on this now. Come on, we send you text messages. You don't even answer the text message, Josh.
Man, I haven't gotten a text from you, man.
Yes,
but
you got a text.
Without a doubt.
No, I definitely sent you a text to let you know that I was definitely going to be reaching out to you. So we didn't get an answer back, but just make sure, because you know when the next thing happened after that. When you don't answer text messages, you're starting to wear shades that night. You don't want to do that, though, man. But
yeah, I don't want to be that guy.
No, keep working hard. Listen, best wishes with the East-West Shrine Game. And like I said before, man, continued success in all that you do. And definitely look forward to checking in with you and see how things are progressing as we get closer and closer to that day where the NFL draft is upon us.
Without a doubt, I'll be looking forward to hearing from you fellas. And thanks again for having me.
Always
sure.
Our pleasure.
Cool.
Josh Ferguson, join us. Great insight. Amazing, amazing. Murph, let's talk about these two guys. I mean, first and foremost, this was your first opportunity to experience the Journey to the NFL segment. Your thoughts on it?
I thought it was cool. It's a cool perspective to see these guys, you know, Adolphus talk to, who's a potential first-round pick, like one of the better seniors, definitely, this class. And you have a guy like Josh, who we just spoke to. So, you know, the NFL today is a running back by committee, and each running back needs to have a certain role. You know, we were talking about the Eagles before, they have three running backs. You know, Josh is going to have a role on certain teams because running backs have that short shelf life. You know, he's going to get in there. So, from two guys who are going to be, you know, factors in the NFL, and just cool to see them going from, you know, these top programs and making that transition and all the preparation they're doing. You know, Josh is saying that he's doing a ton of things down with the trainer, not even focusing on one thing, just doing everything. And I'm sure it's a lot to handle. And it's just cool to see them talk about their, you know, going from the big man on campus to trying to compete with their peers and trying to get, you know, picked by one of these 32 teams. So I definitely, like I said before, I really think this is a cool segment, and just to see their thought process as, a, you know, month by month is closer to the draft in May.
Yeah, I thought, you know, and I agree. I echo those same sentiments. I like the fact is that, number one, it's not a question of, and it's no disrespect or slight to any of the guys that, you know, you don't know if you're going to be drafted. These guys come from major programs, and they know that they're going to be playing in the NFL, and they're going to be drafted. It's just great to hear the insight and really understanding that at this stage of the process, the guys are getting prepared and ready, and understanding what it means to be able
Absolutely.
To say, you know, I'm going to get drafted. But let's look at a guy like Adolphus. First of all, I want to look at a guy, more importantly, like Josh Ferguson. Young man that, if you think about it, it's apparent that the NFL has become more and more open, or sort of, I guess, if anything, everybody's looking for that type of dual type of back, a la like a guy like I see his face, Darren Sproles. You see Giovanni
right.
Bernard, Amir Abdullah. I don't know if you can call Doug Martin perhaps maybe that type of back, but maybe not. But you're seeing more and more of these guys pop up in the NFL, and we have a guy in Josh Ferguson. You know, is this the direction that the league is going, that perhaps you want to have one of these guys, a la 5'9", 5'10", that is a guy that you could spread out wide and do multiple things, similar to like what the Giants, what the Patriots had with Shane Vereen?
Totally, 100%. They're going to go that direction. It's just what it comes down to is the shelf life running back. You don't see many, you know, Adrian Peterson's don't grow on trees. You don't see these workhorses come here and carry the load. You're going to have to split it up. You're going to have to give guys – some get 15 touches, some get 10, some even get 5, but they'll be catching the ball to the backfield. That's what Josh is alluding to. Josh is saying, that, you know, I could change the NFL. Not change it, but I could be a part of an offense. I can go in the slot. I can go catch ball to the backfield. I could deal with the little things. And when you add dimensions to your game, you help teams out, you help their offenses out. And like I said, he paved himself a path, and he will definitely get drafted. He's going to have a spot in an NFL team. So, I mean, there's a lot to look forward to if you're these two guys. And the one thing, after speaking to both and that I liked a lot, and I think they're going to ace the whole interview process, is that they were really well-spoken. They were really, you know, on top of their stuff. They knew what their, you know, great answers they gave. They seem like just really likable guys, easy to root for. So I'm definitely going to be falling for them come draft day.
Yeah, here on the Bottom Line Sports Show, Gerald Brown, Eddie Murphy, 347-324-5839. I thought it was so interesting is that he brought up the Seattle Seahawks. And it was so funny because that was interesting. And my hand to God, God's honest truth, when you mention about a stadium, for some reason, I thought about Seattle. And it was not because of the reason that, my reasoning was that I thought that, again, you know, you're playing in the 12th man, it's just that area, Pacific Northwest. He's a Midwest guy, so ideally that probably would be something that he would look forward to. But I thought it was so interesting because when he said that, Murph, I automatically thought to myself, wait a minute. Marshawn Lynch is probably going to be gone. We don't know if a young man, I'm thinking of the point guard, the running back who was there and ended up getting hurt, broke his ankle.
Rawls,
what's the young man's name? Thomas Rawls. You know, I'm not sure if that guy, and if you look at the shelf life, like you said before, but I think the NFL is moving to perhaps maybe a dual back type of offensive set where you have guys that you could possibly have one guy that's the, you know, the in between the tackles grinding running back, and then the guy that, you know, you get him out in space and it can create a whole bunch of things. So I just thought that was really interesting. And
yeah.
Well, let's look at it. How good of a fit would he be there in Seattle?
Oh, like, I mean, no NFL team can get enough running backs. They're going to always look for the next guy there. And I don't think Lynch is going to. I mean, Lynch only played, I think 8-9 games this year. I'm not sure Lynch is going to be back there for the money he's going to cost. They could just cut him and pay basically half his salary. Bring in a guy like Josh, you know, add him with Rawls. Rawls had a pretty good season when he played. Add a guy like Josh, like I said, can do the slot thing, can do catch the ball in the backfield, can change a pace back if it's a lot. And I thought his answer, you know, to say the Seattle Seahawks pretty quick for their stadium and just like to play either with them or against them, you know, one, it shows the respect he has for them. But it's pretty funny for a guy who's going to the next level, and I'm sure his agents and all of his reps and people are saying, you know, don't come out and say a certain team, they're to piss off other teams or to, you know, I don't know. It's just funny he did that, and I respect honesty. I think the more candid you are in an interview, the better. So I give Josh a lot of credit for saying that. But, I mean, you know, maybe the Seattle Seahawks will get wind of this interview, and they'll his reps will send it out to them, and they'll take him.
Yeah, and I think clearly, I mean, one other team that came to mind, I mean, listen, he played out in cold weather and in Midwest, you know, if the Jets are there, they're going to need a player. You know, if you're going to do the Bilal, the Chris Ivory and Bilal Powell, they don't have a change of pace type of back. It's more or less these physical grinded out backs. That's that ground and pound philosophy. I thought that would be somewhere perhaps would be a good fit for him. But I thought it was just interesting that he said Seattle, and you just see the chemistry and perhaps of how that could be. But then again, if you think about it, let's go back and remember how Giovanni Bernard, what everybody thought was going to be the feature back, and the pounding that this guy was taking clearly was a situation where you weren't certain if he would be able to live up to that type of constant pounding, a la you see
right.
A guy like Jeremy Hill is that change of pace back. So, you know, when you're that small, the bigger question is, can a guy physically be able to hold up for 16 games? And are you now asking a guy to be a between-the-tackles type of runner as opposed to a guy that sort of, you know, you square out and they can get out in space and create a lot of stuff? So really be interesting to see how it plays out for him. But,
yeah.
Really excited, and you could get a chance to see some of these guys in the Senior Bowl as well as the upcoming East-West Shrine.
They're doing pro days and stuff soon.
Yeah, so now let's talk some NFL football. You know, you got the Patriots and the Broncos that's taking place. Murph, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. It just seems apparent that the NFL is trying to squeeze whatever juice that's left in the Brady and Peyton Manning matchup. They're trying to squeeze it all out before it's all gone. How attractive is this matchup?
It's very attractive. It's the game that should have been the later game. It should be the first game of the afternoon since both are on Sunday. This one, I think the 17th matchup between the two. I can't get enough, but I think the hype right now, it seems like everyone's going to lean with New England. I believe they're favored in the game, even the Denver, with Denver being home. You know, people saying that Peyton has no arm left and Patriots went healthy, just no one's going to beat them. I think the NFL would love the perfect scripted ending of the entire playoffs would be for Peyton Manning to redeem himself, to come back from the injury and the not-so-great year, beat Tom Brady and the Patriots, the evil Patriots who the NFL's against, and then goes and either beats the Cardinals or the Panthers in the Super Bowl to win Super Bowl 50, and then right up into the sunset as, you know, Peyton Manning, the golden boy for the NFL, wins the 50th Super Bowl and says, you know, see you later, and that calls it a career. I think that would be a pretty fairy tale type ending.
Murph, but again, that's not going to happen. We all understand that. That's clearly not going to happen.
I'm not sold that it can't. I'm not sold that it can't. I think their team is built differently. It's not relied on the Peyton, you know, offense-heavy team. It's a team with a great defense, and they learn to run the ball more, and Peyton can not be a game manager, because I think last game he actually wasn't as bad as people thought. There was like, what, like seven-plus drop balls in that game? I mean, if some of those connect, the game, it looks a little bit different. So I'm not totally sold that it cannot happen just yet. We'll see what happens.
But I just think that, again, Peyton Manning is a mere shell of himself, and clearly
no one's arguing with that.
Yeah, you're going to have to turn over the reins to Brock Osweiler at some point.
Yeah,
I think
next year,
the time is now.
It's not going to happen. It's not going
to
happen in the playoffs.
No, I mean, it has to be next year. It can't be this year. I mean, clearly this young man is not ready. You do not want to disrespect the legacy of Peyton Manning. But how does a team like Denver, I mean, I've been seeing so many things now. Reportedly, Patriot fans are thinking that Ed Hockley, who anytime he's done the games with the Patriots, Broncos, they're undefeated. The NFL, perhaps with Roger Goodell, the conspiracy theorists are coming out saying the NFL wanted to make sure that the Patriots with Tom Brady trying to show them up doesn't get to the big game, and this is their way of getting back to them. How do the Patriots, you really believe, come in there and are able to successfully beat the Denver Broncos, in your opinion?
They have to just play typical, you know, Patriot football. And when on offense, that's just a ding and dunk. You're going to hit Edelman when he's open on the option route. You're going to hit Amendola on the same short stuff as well. You're not going to run the ball a lick. You're just going to throw everything. Gronk, you know, if Denver's smart, they double-team him, but Gronk is probably the most important player, I think, in the NFL. Maybe not the most valuable, but I think the most important in terms of how much he changes that team. He makes that team go from beatable to elite. And I think if Gronk has a day, it's going to be hard to keep up with him, because team just can't simply to figure out what's the best way to cover them, because you blitz and you're going to find somebody open. If you have too many people cover Gronk and you give him Brady too much time, it's just a really hard conundrum. So I think if they do that on offense, they should be fine. On the flip side of the ball, I mean, the pressure really is on Peyton Manning and how much offense the Broncos can score, because if the Patriots get in stops, they're going to score enough points. And I'm not sure how much, you know, how the defense of the Broncos can hold up the Patriots. So I think all the pressure in this game is on Peyton Manning's shoulders. But that being said, the Patriots play their way they should play. They should win the game, but I'm not going to rule out the Broncos just yet.
Yeah, and I think also, too, when you look at the Patriots, I think the key thing is they're going to have to show their multidimensional in terms of just, you know, the way they played against Kansas City. Kansas City makes a couple plays here and there. I think the Niles Davis fumble really hindered that team from winning the game. But the Patriots, I saw a team that didn't look to run the ball that much. They threw the ball exclusively. And, yes, I think with Denver, you can't, you know, can you get to Tom Brady? That will be a big question. But it's almost non-existent with the run game. So now if you become sort of, in a sense, a one-dimensional, a pass-attacking team, I just think that plays right into the hands of the Denver Broncos. And I think that the Patriots, on the flip side of that, you know, Jerod Mayo is out, the outstanding linebacker. But the question will be is which team is able to establish some type of running game? And if that is the case, who will make the first mistake? I look at some of Peyton Manning's throws, Murph, I'm really, really concerned. But you got guys like Emmanuel Sanders as well as Demaryius Thomas. Those guys are going to need to step up, as well as a third guy that we don't know about as of yet.
Absolutely. Like, they can't do what they did last week. You can't drop, you know, five-plus balls that Peyton's throwing you, because he does not have the arm strength close to what Tom Brady has. And his arm strength was never that great. Peyton was really good at getting the ball out to you quickly. And now he lost, you know, a touch. And, you know, dropping the ball is not going to do him any favors. So the ball is going to come out really ugly. He's going to throw ducks. But he's going to be a smart guy. He's going to make the smart throws. And that's why I do trust him, because, you know, I think early in this year he was throwing those all those interceptions because he was still forcing it and thought he could do more than he really could. Now he realized it. So if he plays a smart game, they run the ball on first down, run the ball on second down, and then just, you know, rely on the throws when they need to, I think they'll be okay. Again, what it comes back to is their defense. How many points can you hold Tom Brady? Can you figure out how to stop Gronk? Will DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller get to Brady and make him go crazy the whole game? You blitz Tom Brady up the A-gap, you know, make him scramble, he gets rattled. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a cat-and-mouse game. And like you said, the mistakes matter. I could see this game being you know, down to the wire, a last possession for one of these two guys. I mean, I think it could be a classic.
Yeah. Let's flip on to the NFC side. I like this game, and I'm kudos to the NFL for making this game their primetime game, if you will. This game will start about 6 o'clock, 6:40. Murph, I thought this game right here would be the most attractive game, and I'm so happy because the Brady and Manning, it stands on its own, but that needs to be a game that's sort of 4 o'clock or so. I was really concerned about it because they would be out there in the Mountain Time Zone. I just didn't know if they would be able to make that game like a 1 o'clock game. But, Murph, this is the attractive matchup right here where you have a team, both teams, outstanding defenses. But I think the X factor is going to be quarterback play, and it really starts with the Carolina Panthers' Cam Newton. I don't know how they're going to be able to do this, but if Cam Newton has to be your leading rusher, Murph, I think they might be in some trouble.
This is the hardest game to pick in quite some time for me. I have no feel for this game whatsoever. I have no I'm even leaning towards a certain way. I know you're probably asked for a pick soon, but, you know, when you look at the game, Carson Palmer played so poorly. You know, the last game, if he threw a couple of interceptions, he should have thrown a couple of interceptions, and they were dropped. And that would have lost in the game. And then we talk about the Packers-Panthers right now, not the Cardinals-Panthers. It wasn't for Larry Fitzgerald and the great play he made. And Palmer did make a good throw in overtime, certainly. But I just, you know, the Cardinals have a great defense. The Panthers have a great defense. They're both great in the trenches. Cam has had an MVP season. He is the NFL MVP. He makes a ton of plays. Do you buy into the Panthers dropping out in the second half of the game like they did with the Seahawks? Like, there's so many different aspects of this game that I just can't – my mind is jumbled right now, and I don't know which way to go with. I don't know what I should believe in, what should I believe in. You know, I think this could be also a classic. I think, you know, having all chalk, having the one and two seeds play each other, we really do have the two best teams in each division. So I think both games will be classics, both games will be nail fighters. And I still right now I'm having trouble deciding which way I want to lean.
Yeah, I just think of that also, too, because it's a team that, you know, if you look at this team on paper, I looked at this team and I started laughing, unfortunately, when Kelvin Benjamin got hurt. I thought that this was the NFC South division was way up for grabs. But this team, game in and game out, they've been able to win. And what's been most impressive about this run that they've been on, Merv, is the fact is that the defense hasn't had to carry the entire load. Offensively, this team has really done a lot of things. You look at guys like Jericho Cotchery, Ted Ginn Jr. They have gotten production out of guys that perhaps you would say there's no way in the world that you can really expect these guys to go ahead and give it game in and game out, along with a guy like Greg Olsen, who's been their sort of leading pass receiver. But more importantly, with Fozzie Whitaker, Jonathan Stewart, they've been able to get this and piece it all together. And this is where I said before, where sometimes you got to give guys the benefit of the doubt. Look at the Carolina Panthers with Ron Rivera, who was perhaps maybe 2 years ago fighting for his job. And you see the decision to hold on to this guy, keep things intact, and look at this position that they're in. I think it speaks volumes to the fact that sometimes the moves that you don't make the most sense, and keeping Ron Rivera there, I think it makes a lot of sense. Now, on the flip side of that, how does Arizona win this game? You know, Larry Fitzgerald had a monster game. You're probably going to see him matched up with guys like Josh Norman. You're going to need somebody else to beat you, John Brown and David Johnson. David Johnson's a rookie, Merv. How do the Arizona Cardinals win this game on Sunday?
They win this game if Carson Palmer gets back into Carson Palmer from the regular season, where people said he's a top three candidate for MVP, and he uses his weapons, which are, you said, John Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, and Michael Floyd, too, who's probably the biggest and most athletic receiver they have out of Notre Dame, the first-round pick a couple of years ago. He's a big body and can do a lot. You know, we'll see who Josh Norman lines up against. I'm sure we'll probably see Norman do a little bit with everyone. I think they have to win by relying on the passing attack. I think Carolina could do a number against their running attack with those great linebackers they have to cover the whole field. So, I say this, and then the next thing I'm thinking of is how can I pick against the Panthers? So it's going to be a crazy game. I really I'm looking forward to both these matchups right now. But I wouldn't be surprised either way. I would not be surprised if Arizona comes out and Palmer has a 3-4 touchdown game, and I wouldn't be surprised if Cam Newton has a 300 passing yard game and a 100 yard rushing game either. It's just one of those. They're just two juggernauts, and I cannot be more excited.
Well, I think that's the purpose here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. Gerald Brown, Eddie Murphy, 347-324-5839. I think this is what you can ask for. You couldn't ask for anything better. You know what I look at both of these games, what it'll come down to? And this is what when we talk about playoff football. Which team makes the mistake and able to capitalize on the mistake? You know, we talk about the Carolina Panthers and Ron Rivera playing, you know, not to make a mistake. They sort of hung on for dear life in the second half of that Seahawks and Panthers game. But team that's able to make the least amount of mistakes, and I mean, I know it sounds so easy and that's the nature of the game, but the team that's able to make the least amount of mistakes and who's able to capitalize on that mistake will win the game. And I think clearly Greg Olsen's going to be a problem. I think David Johnson, I think the defense of the Carolina and of the Cardinals, Arizona Cardinals, might have to win this game. And the biggest question for that Arizona Cardinals defense, can they keep Cam Newton in the pocket? Can they get hits on him? And can they force Cam to be exclusively a passer, which he's done an exceptional job? He's going to be the MVP of the league. But if they can make Cam Newton a one-dimensional guy, that will play right into the hands of the Arizona Cardinals, I think, moving on to the Super Bowl. But it's going to be an unbelievable match and a matchup, and kudos to the NFL for really scheduling this game to be the last game of the week. So as we get into the picks, and we was going to momentarily talk a little picks, we'll switch up.
Okay.
Talk a little baseball.
I think I do have my picks, though.
You have your picks? Well, let's give the picks now. Let's give the picks now.
It's up to you. We can save them or we can do them.
No,
right
I want to go to picks now. I want to give picks now.
All right. Well, after hearing your little soliloquy there, I think I figured out which way I want to lean. I think my head and my heart give me two different answers. My head says the obvious picks here are to go with the Patriots, even on the road, and to go with Arizona, which I think is the better all-around team. But my heart is saying that somehow Peyton Manning pulls off a miraculous upset, and their defense actually does a job against against Tom Brady. So I'm going with the Broncos in the AFC title game, and with the NFL title game, again, we just talked about Cam Newton ad nauseum. He's the NFL MVP. Cam finally realized that he's a humongous human being and he could do a number of things on the field, and it shows this year. And I can't pick against a guy who's playing as well as he can. He's running the ball. He's throwing the ball well. He's making guys like Ted Ginn look like, you know, become household names. I'm not going to pick against Cam Newton. I'm not going to pick against the MVP. Bruce Arians and the Cardinals' decision-making last week kind of scared me. So the Super Bowl will be the Carolina Panthers versus the Denver Broncos.
I think I'm going to be different about that. And why would you pick the Patriots, not the Patriots?
Again, I'm leaning with – I think Peyton will do enough. I'm not going to blame him for last week. I think the throws were there. A lot of throws were there. They just dropped. And one thing I really like about this matchup is that if Tom Brady is scrambling, if Tom Brady is being – he's not being blitzed, but he's being rushed by DeMarcus Ware, by Von Miller, by defensive tackles up the A-gap and making him move, it unsettles him. And that's the exact reason why the Giants won the Super Bowl, because their defensive line got Tom Brady. That's why the Jets, under Rex Ryan, actually had a pretty good record versus the Patriots compared to the rest of the NFL, because the defensive front got Tom Brady. And, you know, the same goes for the Ravens and the Steelers. Teams with good defense that rush the quarterback – get Tom Brady, and that's how you beat the Patriots and Tom Brady. And I think the Broncos actually have, you know, they have the best team in the NFL. Arguably, I think they could do that. And I think that's the one trump card they have over the Patriots.
Yeah, I just think that, again, they've been in these situations before. But it'll be a question. See, one thing I think about these games right here, and it's great that, you know, I've never been a big fan of just the NFL in terms of when you have these – you know, the week off, I think it's just a lull and the build up to the next game. I get all that and just the Super Bowl. But the emotional drain the emotional toll, both of these games will not only take on fans, but I think the players, there's no way in the world that they could have possibly played another another game of that magnitude the following week, because the Carolina and Arizona game evenly matched. You know, can Arizona throw the ball? Will they be able to run it? You know, how bad will the weather be down in Carolina? Denver and New England. You know, can the Patriots get to, Peyton Manning? How much more does he have left? We saw the ducks that he was throwing in the prior game. How much more does he have left in the tank? Can he get them over the hump? This is his arch nemesis. Can he beat them? And if so, how does he come back and recover, especially after a couple of years ago, the debacle that transpired in the game against the Seahawks? So there's no way in the world I believe these guys could come back. I'm pulling for really – look, I love to see New England there. I think they're always the – it's the team that everybody loves to hate, but it'd be great to see if Denver can go there. And how interesting would it be to see Denver and Arizona in the finals, in the Super Bowl, excuse me. And if it's not, I think I would be happy to see Arizona and New England there. I just think that Arizona, what Bruce Arians been able to do is unbelievable. But I just get scared that if there's a team that's going to face the New England Patriots, and if that happens to be if it's the New England Patriots or Denver Broncos, but mainly New England, you're going to need an offense. And I just don't think Carolina has enough offense, because those teams with an extra week, especially Bill Belichick, they will find a way to shut Cam Newton down. And the big question is,
I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah, I think that they will. I think it's just inevitably they will find a way
Carson
to shut
Palmer
him down.
Is easier. Carson Palmer is easier to shut down than Cam Newton, because Cam Newton's so versatile. I think the one team that the Patriots can beat handily are the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, it just remains to be seen. 347-324-5839. So if you look at what has taken place with the Major League Baseball, just a couple tidbits before we get on out of here. Yoenis Cespedes looks like it's obviously he has some money that's out there. I think there's a report that the Washington Nationals offered him big money. But the big move, which was kind of surprising, Justin Upton has gotten his money from the Detroit Tigers. Murph, we saw the Detroit Tigers, if you think about it, we saw them go in with, we saw them give the big money to, it's not baseball season, I know, and I'm drawing a blank right now. I'm drawing a blank. But we saw the big money that was given to, the third baseman, the first baseman. His name is escaping me.
Last year?
Yes, but his name, I can't believe this. I'm losing this guy's but we saw the big money. It wasn't just to it was Miguel Cabrera. Miguel Cabrera got the big money. Well, we saw Miguel Cabrera, who's a stud. He's all world, everything, rightfully so. And we saw the Tigers go with this approach of trying to just, minimal pitching and basically just try to, again, just try to hit the ball out of the park and just score 1,000 of runs. And we saw the struggle with that. But we saw this team turn around and make the decision to go and give Prince Phil the big money. And we saw that didn't work out. Now all of a sudden they go out and get Justin Upton, who's a younger, speedier athlete. But surprised, first and foremost, how surprised are you at the market that has been out there for a lot of these players and Justin Upton to be able to get the money that he got?
Well, I think in a way, because the Royals won and the way they did in the Mets being in the World Series, being a mostly homegrown team, except for the one big trade they made with getting Cespedes, that teams are they don't want to go out and spend the big money and get these big contracts of guys that are not drafted and brought up their minors. You look at the Yankees; the Yankees having a hard time. There's so many contracts they want to get rid of, and teams want to take it on. That's why Upton was around for a while. That's why still Yoenis Cespedes is still a free agent, although it's coming close to the Nationals. So I think now he's changing in a way where, yeah, there's no salary cap, but teams don't want to spend, give you a blank check and to bring in a guy who's going to end up being 35 years old, missing half a season, and you have to pay him $20 million a year. Teams are totally afraid of that. They don't want to go into the luxury tax, this and that. So I think that they're going to start trending towards more focusing on younger players, on pitching, and just bring your guys up to the farm system.
Yeah, it's just going to be really interesting. But, again, the big money hasn't been out there at all for a lot of these guys, and that's been kind of surprising. Murph, before we get on out of here, we gave our predictions. What's your bottom line for tonight?
My bottom line is to, I guess, thank you, even though you disagree with me the whole entire night. It feels like our Saturday and Sunday NBA show. But you disagree with me, but I still want to say thank you for the opportunity. Even though the past 2 weeks in a row, I've interviewed Roy Williams and these two young guys, Josh and
Adolphus.
Who are going to be in the NFL, and it's just a great, just a great time talking sports. We're talking to these people who are, you watch on TV and stuff, and Roy Williams grew up, watching, and it's just cool for me. It helps me, further, my career and have a good time with you talking sports for an hour and a half. So I'm thankful for that.
No, I appreciate you. Right back at you, my friend. This is just the beginning, because we got a whole slew of other guys that's getting ready for the draft, and we're going to be having so many other guys, and it's always great to get the different perspective of young players preparing for the NFL. A couple of big things that, the Aroldis Chapman won't be charged in his domestic dispute. He's now a New York Yankee and looks like he'll be able to play. And then Cliff Robinson, a great friend to the show, reportedly will open up a legalized pot business in Portland, Oregon. He'll be going under the name Uncle Spliffy. So Robinson will be having a legalized recreational marijuana, which has been legalized in Oregon. So, again, go figure. Kind of surprised, but then again, not surprised at all. So we got great, great football that's taking place on Sunday. It should be outstanding. We still got college basketball, and I know we didn't touch too much on college basketball, which I really wanted to get into, but we'll make sure we do it next week, because everywhere, you might talk about a team now, and they might not even be in the top 10 or let alone the top 5 next week. I'd like to thank Adolphus Washington, Josh Ferguson. I'd like to thank Fife Dog, and more importantly, I'd like to thank you. Whenever you listen to the Bottom Line Sports Show, thank you so much, and we look forward to doing it all over again next Tuesday to get you all set and prepared for the NFL Super Bowl. Always a pleasure. Peace.
Bye-bye.